Kirby Smart and the rest of the SEC coaches trying to get on the same page. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The annual SEC meetings are going on down in Florida. Kirby was asked, asked today about some clarity. He wants clarity on the future of the NCAA transfer portal. So this is just from the coach's standpoint, and we'll talk about Greg Sankey here in a second, and we'll play the Greg Sankey soundbite that Mike and I were talking about earlier. But this is the big story, guys, because this is the future of college football. And they're trying to rewrite some rules, not just with the SEC. We're talking about across the board. The SEC is going to lead the way. But there are two portals right now, one in December at the end of the regular season, December 9th to the 28th. And then there's one in the spring, right? We saw this. Spring game happened, and then guys like, oh, I don't know, Nico decides to transfer because, oh, well, I'm not getting what I want, April 16th to the 25th. Kirby and a lot of the SEC coaches, Mike, want one transfer portal is what they're looking to do. And then they're saying, hey, we want that portal in April or May, not at the end of December or in the middle of December. And then let's have an OTA-style practices in June, which is what the Falcons are trying to, you know, do right now. So kind of a pro-style approach to this. But Smart does not like the idea and says, you know, Georgia uses 10 days in June to hold camps, and it's a key recruiting and evaluation time. So the timing of what he wants and when they want it, this is some of the stuff they're working out or at least attempting to talk about down
there. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people felt. Did you feel that Sankey overflexed when he was asked the question?
Yes.
About, you know, where the state of college football is. And hypothetically, it's kind of like when Charlie Sheen asked Gordon Gekko, how many yachts can you water ski behind? Because basically the argument is, you know, couldn't you take a little less off the top to keep the game alive as opposed to just being Pac-Man and continue to gobble up? Because that's where I think they're going to go anyway. And look, if the Big Ten and the SEC align, then everyone else is dead in the water anyway. Because you'll have the juice and the TV contracts coming at you to go gobble up the cast-offs of the ACC and the Big 12.
No doubt. No doubt. And by the way, let's play the soundbite because Sankey was asked a bunch of things. But to Mike's point, it's not what he said. It's how he said it. And if you didn't see the video or his response – to Mike's point, it was almost like, hold on, let me puff my chest out a little bit here. Let me explain to you guys who you're talking to. I am the commissioner of the SEC. And he started to basically lay it out like, hey, I don't care about what's going on with these other conferences. Here's one of the things that Sankey said.
Look at a track record. We didn't need 12. Did we say to four, we would have had half the four last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. Okay, you can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward.
He's talking about the Big 12, who issued a press statement talking about the same thing that I said, what's good for college football. We cannot be solely focused on what's good for our conference when we're talking about the reshaping of college football. The problem is, it's not a problem, Mike. Let me ask you, is Greg Sankey willing to be the bad guy? Is he willing to say, I don't care if you blame me for how we're about to reshape this. I'm willing to take on that responsibility, and I'm willing to be the guy, the face of this, the front man, because you are, in fact, in charge of, at least in our opinion, the most important conference in college football. Now, Big Ten fans will say, look, we got a better TV contract. You do right now, but if the SEC and when the SEC goes to nine games, you won't, because they're going to get a big chunk of money for adding that content. So is he willing to do that and do exactly what he said? I don't care about all this other stuff. I'm here to take ideas.
Yeah, I mean, how do you everybody wants this thing to be fixed. If you have Greg Sankey taking this position, you really do need Nick Saban to be the, you know, this football czar. I mean, like, I know Trump ran something up the flagpole. I guess that's kind of dying on the vine. But there's really no, if you're looking for, like, logic or people who have the best interest of the sport, that cavalry isn't coming over the hill. Those guys don't exist. And again, as you said earlier, Sankey's job is to put as much money in the coffers of the Georgias and the Ole Misses and everybody else in the member schools and the Texases and the Oklahomas and the SEC.
That's right.
But you'd like to think someone would see the forest for the trees, but, you know, the betterment of football. I mean, I don't know. Is Notre Dame going to say, you know what, you're right. We're going to take some of that money we make off the NBC contract. We're going to throw that back in the kid. No, of course they're not.
No. Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, these are the two power players. Now, Petitti's not in destined down there in Florida where they're having these meetings, But those are the two guys that have been leading the charge. They were leading the charge with how to reseed in the playoffs. They're leading the charge with expanding and how soon that may happen. They're leading the charge, Mike, when it comes to, hey, what's really important as we move forward with how we want to do business across the board. I mentioned this to our buddy Connor Riley, and he was on earlier. Great interview with him online at Odyssey.com. Guys, you got 136 FBS schools, and everybody's not going to survive. Because if this court thing goes through, and again, right. It has not yet, but if it is passed, I'm telling you right now, you're now talking about schools paying players. Everybody won't be able to do this. And some of these programs are going to go bye-bye. I don't know which ones, but this gets back to league sharing, Mike, and you talked about it. The revenue involved.
Right.
There's just a lot of stuff that they're trying to figure out as we move forward. And again, look, progress is great, but I think we move too fast on this. And that is why we are where we are.
Right.
Paying players is one thing, but then it was like, well, screw it. We'll just do it this way. And now everybody's like, holy crap, we gotta rethink right. this.
And we said this earlier. I mean, the only way, I'm arguing with some guys about, you know, strength of schedule with the SEC versus the Big 12. I mean, for instance, the only way the ACC ever pulls themselves out of the situation they're in is Brent Key wins 10 games. Clemson, you know, Clemson, you know, off year, they lost to South Carolina, they lost a bunch of games, they still found a way to get in the playoffs. But Virginia Tech and Miami can't fade at the end. Florida State can't win two games.
Yeah.
The ACC's brand is crap right now. I'm sorry. We all pull for Brent Key. We all pull for Georgia Tech. Rising tide raised all the ships. We want to see these guys all get it together. But part of the reason they're saddled with that crappy ESPN contract is they're not viable like they were 20 years ago.
Yeah. And understand what I'm saying about, you know, somebody just said, who cares about these other schools? You're either with us or you're against us. And Tony Petitti, who runs the Big Ten, and Greg Sankey, who runs the SEC, in the eyes of these other schools, are trying to strong-arm them.
Right.
And a lot of these schools will not go for that. And that's going to get potentially Congress involved. And people are – look, there are people in Congress, whether you realize it or not, went to Notre Dame. They went to ACC schools. They went to Big 12 schools. Right. They're like, wait a minute, what are you doing to our conference? So that is why I'm saying they have to be very careful in how they go about this. That is at least the perception. You're not going to strong arm us into doing what you guys want us to do. It needs to be best for everybody. And that is the argument right now that is going on. And I'm not saying that's just intestine. Right. That's across college football.
But again, you know, it's like, how did we, like, you could argue about how we got here, how we're going to fix it. I don't know. I mean, that's why, like, the Florida State and the Clemson lawsuits are kind of ridiculous. Although, when you're making the most ratings and generating the most revenue via TV, you should probably have a bigger piece of the pie.
Yes.
So the ACC is over a barrel. You know, why are things the way they are? Because John Swofford didn't see the future. He didn't try to expand. When the Big 12 started to expand, I'm sorry, when the Big 10 started to expand, and they threw an end around when they grabbed Washington
they
and
did.
USC and UCLA and Oregon. But, you know, the SEC, it started, you know, back with Arkansas and being big enough to think, oh, Texas and Oklahoma. Meanwhile, what's the ACC doing? They did this last-ditch stuff with what? With Stanford and SMU? You know, and good for SMU, they had a hell of a season last year. But it's too little too late. So we're going to get stuck. And again, and yes, Sankey is part of the problem. He's not right now part of the solution. We're going to get stuck with the top 50 or 60 teams. But I wonder what the hell happens to these other guys. Right? Do they play the Ivy League? Are we going to have two separate? I mean, are we going to have a sort of like the one division AA championship, the other guys, and then the college football playoff? And what are the guys in between make TV wise? They don't make anything.
No, they're not going to make it. They're going to be the haves and have nots. Now, we haven't gotten there yet, but these are the hard problems that they're going to have to try to solve. And by the way, they're not going to. I'm just here to tell you, like, you're not going to solve all these problems because you can't please everybody. So this gets back to the haves and have nots who make the decisions. 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. Follow Mike, by the way. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and the radio shows, Dukes and Bell 929. The games on Saturday will continue to be the games on Saturday. We're still going to watch Georgia-Auburn. Alabama comes to Georgia this year. It's going to be great. Texas comes in Athens this year. It's going to be great. But the fundamental problems that college football is facing is going to take a brain trust and a commitment to everybody involved to solve these issues. And if you don't, Mike, it's going to destroy what we've known as college football for the last 75 years.
Right. Now, listen to this. I just talked about ACC. Ross Dellinger tweeted this from Scott Strickland, the Florida AD.
Yes.
A committee is not ideal to choose a postseason. I question whether it's appropriate for college football.
There you go. See, that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Okay, so what do you want? Who's appointing these teams?
And Dan Walken, I don't always agree with Dan, but Dan's pretty funny. He goes, the moment you begin to realize that nothing will ever be good enough for these people.
Who do you want doing that?
Right.
Hey, man, more on this tomorrow. The SEC meetings continue. They started yesterday, but it's fascinating because everybody's like, we need this.
Right.
And then Greg Sankey's like, let me show you what I'm talking about. And then everybody says, oh, he's trying to flex. They're trying to bully us. Okay, I don't know about that. But they do have a lot of power, and I'm talking about the SEC. All right, we got to get out of the way, man. Turtle's got the night show coming up. Dom's doing a great job today. Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Mike, who do you got tonight? Knicks, Pacers. Knicks tie this thing up?
What are the odds that Carl Anthony Towns can put two monster efforts back-to-back? Minnesota Timberwolves fans would say zero. But I don't know. As in Nick, though, it was a force of nature. We talked about it. If Indiana can get those transition points and those great open looks for Tyrese Halliburton, then I think they're in a good spot. But now I get a feeling this is definitely going 6 or 7.
I do, too. I feel that way. It's going to be a closer game. I don't think it'll be a blowout tonight. And now it becomes a grind. I think the Knicks might have found a formula, but Mike's right. It's got to be performances. Mm. Hey, Dom, great job. We're back at this thing tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Lots more to get to. A bunch of guests we'll have on the show as well. More on the Braves, man. I just want to win this series, but Strider's got to be Strider. At some point, you can't give us 4 2/3 and feel good about it. We got to see a good Strider outing tonight. We'll see what happens there, and we'll talk plenty about the Braves tomorrow and more on the OTAs with the Falcons up at Flowery Branch. If you missed it today, Kirk Cousins was not there. It is voluntary. Okay, you say no big deal. Then why show up at all to anything? All right, man. We got to roll. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. I took a shot at NASCAR last week saying, look, the Coke 600 is the world's most boring race. I've been to some of those that take like 5 hours to finish. This year, actually, it was faster than the Indy 500. They did have those long delays because of the rain up at Indy and yellow flags, et cetera, and guys that wrecked on the first lap before the race even started. But in the Charlotte race, they actually ran a couple minutes quicker. They didn't have a lot of yellows. Don't know if it was exciting. Ross Chastain won it, but still, it was actually shorter and faster than the Indy 500 this year.
Interesting. Hey, man, I don't know who it is in the clubhouse. I really don't even care who it is. Somebody's got to look other guys in the face with the Braves and say, you're not playing up to your capabilities. Mm. Can't be just snit all the time. The great teams have players inside of those clubhouses that are willing to do it. Listen, Manny Machado is that guy with the Padres. I'm here to tell you, he's not afraid to rattle feathers. And sometimes you need that. Our Braves across the board, we're okay. We're not living up to it. And certainly some of these guys are not playing up to their potential. Who's going to do it? You? Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
You don't know the correct response to boiler up.